Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 2, Series 2 of Inside Crime Investigation. In this episode, we're bringing you an exclusive interview with one half of the Red Handed podcast, Hannah Maguire. We discuss everything from how to get into podcasting to a special Halloween episode of Red Handed and explore her views on the Shafila Ahmed case. We cover this brutal case in episode 7 of When Missing Turns to Murder on Crime Investigation. Shafila was a 17-year-old British Pakistani girl from Cheshire who was murdered by her parents in a suspected honour killing. When Missing Turns to Murder features one case each episode as it reveals powerful and emotional testimony from families and friends of those who have disappeared. Every story intimately shares the moment when a family changes forever, when a missing persons inquiry turns into a murder investigation. As each programme unfolds, police and authorities investigate and bring the perpetrators to justice. But before we discussed When Missing Turns to Murder, I wanted to know more about Red Handed, so I got Hannah on the phone. So just to kick off, tell us how you got into podcasting.
It's a bit of a weird story, really, and unfortunately for an interview, I've never come up with a succinct way of telling the story, but here's what happened. I had a party. I was living with an American about 2 years ago, and he had all of his family over for Thanksgiving, so we had a Thanksgiving party at my flat, and Saruti, who is my co-host on Red Handed, came along just because her friend was sleeping on my sofa at the time, so we really are not very connected at all. And so she came to the Thanksgiving dinner and we just drank quite a lot of wine and ended up starting to shout at each other about JonBenet Ramsey in front of like children and then a massive extended family. And about 2 years ago, it was quite rare to find someone who was listening to podcasts, let alone someone who was listening to the exact same specific murder podcast that you were listening to. So I sort of, as half as a joke, said, well, let's just start a podcast. And then we did. And then 2 years later, here we are.
Fast forward, it's all been roses and murders and all wonderful things since then.
Well, exactly, yeah.
How do you select which cases to feature?
We choose cases that we find interesting. So when we were starting the podcast, we were thinking about, oh, maybe we should just be doing British cases, or maybe we should just be doing this specific kind of case. But we didn't really want to limit ourselves, because it would be my worst nightmare to come across a case that I thought was the most interesting thing I'd ever heard and be like, oh, well, it's not British, so I can't do it. So we pick interesting ones. We won't do cases that we don't have anything to add to the conversation to. So like doing Jack the Ripper or doing possibly even Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer. What do we have to add to that? Like, it's been done so many times. So if we could come up with an angle, we'd definitely do it. But we tend to choose cases that even that are less well known, or if they are well known, we bring something else to the table.
What I really love about the podcast is this is your range of titles. Actually, I was telling you how I downloaded one this weekend, and the one I went for, and it probably tells you a lot about me, was Ball Gags, BDSM, A Body in the Woods, and The Murder of Elaine Hara. And that's one I went straight for. So which is your favourite title and why?
Oh, God, difficult question. Saruti is the title magician. She's our copywriter extraordinaire. My favourite title. I think you're right. I think the best one is Ball Gag BDSM and A Body in the Woods, The Murder of Elaine O'Hara. I think that's our best title.
What's the process of the research that goes into each episode? Because I noticed sometimes you said you've watched something and you're obviously reading stuff. How do you go and put together all the information that you use in each episode?
Well, because we're working on a weekly cycle, episodes come out every Thursday. So generally what we'll do is we record at the weekend, edit it, and then for our Patreon supporters, they get it on a Wednesday. So really it has to be ready to go on Tuesday night. So the next one, we take it in turns for who's researching the case. So if it's my turn, by Wednesday, I really want to have a good idea of the case that I'm going to do. And then I find everything I can on it. And I copy and paste it all into one big document and go through it, taking out the bits that repeat themselves. And then I like to sort of let it sit overnight, just sleep on it. And then you pick out the key story points from there. Because what we're doing is storytelling at the end of the day. And I think what I enjoy doing is telling the story in a different way, because you can't always be like, he was born on the 4th of December. That you can't start every episode like that. So, and then in terms of watching documentaries and stuff, if they're out there, we'll watch them. I think it would be remiss to do a case having not watched, read, listened to as much as you can. If it's out there, we'll find it.
As I said earlier, I think it's a very funny podcast, and it's surprising that a podcast about such a serious matter could be so amusing. Mm-hmm. So how do you get that balance right between having fun, but yet talking about the crime and the victims in a respectful manner?
We never really had a conversation about like, oh, what is our house style going to be? How are we going to decide what to make jokes about and what to leave alone? And the key thing is, like, there's not really a magic formula. It's just I don't make jokes about things I don't think are funny, and I don't think making jokes about victims is funny, so I won't do it. And I think that's a really important line to tread. And I do think in true crime podcasting, it is quite a fine line. But I would just never make a joke. I'd never make a joke about a victim or a victim's family, just because I think it's inappropriate. But in terms of where we bring in the humor, sometimes you look at like an absolutely savage case and you think, oh God, how am I going to find something that's funny in here? But me and Sarisi are really lucky that the chemistry we have, every time I'm worried about it and I'm not sure where the comedy is going to come from, it just sort of happens. And I think it's because we're such good mates and we get on so well.
You can hear that. You can hear the chemistry, and it's that interplay between you two, which makes it such an interesting listen. What's your favourite episode so far, and why? Obviously, it's a difficult question. It's like, what's your favourite child? But which is your favourite episode, and why? I'm going to ask it.
My favourite episode. I think the episode I'm most proud of is Stephen Lawrence, just because when hate crimes are a difficult topic, and a lot of people avoid covering them. And obviously Stephen Lawrence is such a landmark case. I was really keen to do it because no one had done it, because people sort of tiptoe around the racial aspect of the crime. And then obviously the McPherson report and the Metropolitan Police being found to be institutionally racist. Like, that's a big deal. It's an important topic. And I'm really proud that we covered that. In terms of my favorite episode to listen back to is our first ever Halloween special. So on Halloween, we do a different type of episode where we just find the scariest stories we can possibly manage. And we tell them to each other as like a story swap, which is unusual because on our normal episodes, we've already read what the other person has written and we've gone through it together. We know what's going to happen. So what's special about the Halloween ones is we don't know what's happening next, and I think those are really fun to listen back to.
Are you gonna, what, anything planned for, I guess it's 8 months away now, isn't it, but anything good for Halloween you're looking forward to?
I think we might do a live show for Halloween this year, you know.
What tips would you give anyone who wants to start their own podcast?
Good question. My tips would be find your niche and don't deviate from it. It might take you a few, maybe even 10, 20, 30 episodes to find what it is you're doing that's different to everyone else. But I think that's really important. There are so many true crime podcasts out there. So in order for you to be heard, you need a special something. And it's not a bad thing if that takes you a little bit of time to find out. Also, podcasting by definition it probably will be a side gig for you for quite some time. I've only just gone full time in the last few weeks. So my advice would be just keep at it. Keep consistent. Get episodes out every week. They will improve over time. When I listen back to the first episodes that we did, like, it just keeps me up at night because the sound quality is so bad. But you learn as you go. And I think the best advice I can probably give is just hit the ground running. Just get it out there and you'll learn. You'll learn on the trot.
That's great advice. Cycling back to what we asked earlier, what do you think your niche is in terms of your podcast?
I think with Red Handed, what we do is we will look at the societal and cultural aspects of a case. Because we are storytelling, but I think you have to include things that affect all of us all the time, which is race, gender, class. And I don't feel like you can leave those things out. One example is we did an episode on the silent twins, June and Jennifer Gibbons, who were these twin sisters who only spoke to each other. They had a secret language that no one could understand. And in their teenage years, they did some petty theft and they set fire to a tractor store in Wales. And they ended up in Broadmoor because everyone was so afraid of them. And it's quite a famous story and quite a few podcasts have covered it. But a lot of people got in touch with us and said, we had no idea. I've heard this story so many times and we had no idea that they were black. And that's such an important part of that story. Like, if you're the only black family in a small town in Wales, of course, you're already going to feel like you're on the outskirts of that. You're already going to feel like an outsider. And I think that's a really important part of the case. So I think that's what we're doing. That's our niche, is digging into the real... Because my background is in anthropology, anthropologist. So I'm always interested in why people do what they do. And I think that's what people who are into true crime, that's the answer question they want to answer. And I don't think you can do that without looking at cultural things or societal pressures.
Yeah, and I definitely get that. I listen to it. There's a different fresh angle to your podcast. It's not simply like the nitty gritty. It's actually there's all these questions which you throw back to the audience and you sort of meditate on as well. What's your favourite true crime series or documentary? Obviously, another difficult question.
Ooh. Okay. The one I've really recently listened to, a podcast series, is called The Dropout. It's about Elizabeth Holmes. That she dropped out of Stanford when she was like 19 and started a biomedical tech company, and it was all lies and it went on for years. And so The Dropout is an incredible podcast series that really takes you through how she managed to get away with it for so long. So that's, but white collar crime is a bit of a deviation to me. That's not really, I think that particular podcast is just so well done.
It was Theranos, wasn't it? Theranos, that's the lady,
that's
isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's the one.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, she got billions of pounds and is lying. Brilliant.
yeah. People left Apple to go and work for her and it was all made up.
What's the appeal of true crime as a genre, do you think?
I think it's to do with, it's just people. Like, people love learning about people. And I think I've always been of the opinion that it's very dangerous to look at murderers or criminals of any description as monsters. There's this thing that's other than normal people, because they're not. They're exactly like you and me. And it's that danger that I think makes people really interested in it. And it's just figuring out what makes a person do something so horrible you can't even think about it. That I think that's the fascination.
Yeah, it's the armchair detectives. As you say, it's storytelling is everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to move on to maybe talk a bit more the Shafila Ahmed case, because obviously
sure.
You're going to be covering it, because it's episode 6 of When Missing Turns to Murder.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier in the first part about how you approach these cases as storytellings and you pull things out.
Mm-hmm.
For the Shafila Ahmed case, how do you apply the red-handed treatment to that? What bits do you pull out? What's the elements you want to tell, the stories you want to tell from this, you think, to your listeners?
The red-handed treatment on Shafila Ahmed, I suppose, is... Oh, I should say a little bit about the case, really. What it is it's an honour killing. Shafila Ahmed was a 17-year-old Pakistani girl living in the UK. Her parents killed her for dishonouring her family. And I think the idea of an honour killing, of the honour of the family, is very much placed upon the women in that culture. Like, a girl running around with a boy when she's a teenager is very shameful and is dishonouring of the family. A boy doing the same thing doesn't bring the same amount of shame. So I think that's a really interesting concept. And of course, when you're talking about cultures that are different to your own, you have to go about it with a certain cultural sensitivity. But when it comes to something like that, you have to get into culturally how that happened as well, because it didn't just come out of the blue. I think the only thing we can do is be as logical about it as we possibly can. And something that we've said on the show before when we've been discussing stuff like FGM is that, of course, we need to be culturally sensitive. But when it comes to abuse, you have to draw a line.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A big part of the case is perhaps the members of their community not coming forward and not talking about it. And it's still kept quite small and quite secret. But we need to ask questions. We need to talk about things or nothing's going to progress.
Because it took a week for her to be reported. Like, you know, why did it take so long? Like, her classmates and like the community sort of kept very quiet about it.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Do you class a murder more an act of abuse or an honour killing?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's both, but I think it's an honour killing.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, it was absolutely horrific. Do you think the social services are partly to blame for her murder, considering she came up from Pakistan having drank bleach and no one really intervened at that point?
Right, it's very difficult for... obviously, we have the benefit of hindsight. And because Shafila Ahmed was living within quite an insular family and it was her teachers that noticed she was gone, I think it would have been quite difficult because who's reporting it? Her parents aren't. The school can't until further down the line. So I think, yes, it's possible that social services missed something, but we can't say it's 100% down to them because we're looking back at it with the knowing what happened.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's very difficult to make those judgment calls, isn't it? An interesting, I mean, in Red Hand, I always know that you sort of have a take on stuff, or you sort of analyse stuff, or you sort of hypothesise stuff. But so, with the father, Iftikhar, he'd been so anti-Western culture when he had Shafila, but he'd previously married a Danish woman.
Yeah.
How do you think that goes through that mind, that he could actually move to the UK, marry a white Danish woman, drink, go to clubs, that sort of thing, but then later in life become so sort of anti-Western culture? What's the process you think that went on in his mind?
Oh gosh, I mean these questions are things that we have to deal with all the time, because you're never going to know 100% how someone else's mind works. And I don't know, perhaps it was just because if I'm correct in thinking, he didn't really want to remarry. It was his parents who made him do it. And she was his first cousin, very traditional arranged marriage. But perhaps once he was married, actually something Sarisha said to me, he didn't want to marry his second wife. He wanted to stay married to the Danish lady, but his parents said, no, you have to, because no one will marry her now, because she'll always be the one who was supposed to be married to you. So if you don't marry her, her life is ruined. So that's why he married her. And then obviously they go on to have children, and perhaps he just became a bit more extreme within that relationship, having left his first wife.
Penultimate question, how can a mother sort of override her basic maternal instincts and murder her own daughter and help cover it up as well?
I think if I've learned anything over the past 2 years doing the show, is that people will do the most horrendous things if they think it's getting them to an end game. And I think this one is, mothers killing daughters is not something we see a lot of, and people are always a lot more shocked when women kill. Women kill generally for revenge or for money, and usually they poison people. So a violent murder by a woman is quite a rare thing. And I think that's why people are always so shocked by it. But in terms of overriding her maternal instinct, he was overriding his paternal instincts too. You know, just because she's a woman doesn't make her more or less likely to murder someone or murder her child. She's in the same boat as him, really.
Yeah, I was a bit sort of worried about asking that question because it is a bit gendered, but hey, I did it. Sorry.
That's okay.
My final question would be, have you covered any other cases like the Shafila Ahmed case before in Red Handed Podcast?
No, but we're thinking about a sort of Murdered Abroad series, and Samia Shahid, very similar situation. Her family will say that she died of a heart attack in Pakistan, but the coroner's report said that she was actually strangled to death, and she had refused to marry the man that her parents had picked for her and actually had moved to Dubai to marry someone else. So there's a bit of controversy about her case, about whether her family killed her or whether she actually died on holiday in Pakistan. It's a bit of a mystery. Her family will say, obviously, they didn't do it, but there's a lot of stuff surrounding her death that doesn't quite add up. So I'm very keen to do an episode on that, but we haven't just yet.
She just wouldn't have gone away without telling anybody.
He says, "I do honestly believe your son has been abducted.
Where is she? Where is she? I've got to do my best to find her. I need to find my daughter."
The children who were all present watched their parents kill their sister.
Brand new When Missing Turns to Murder, Mondays at 9 on Crime and Investigation.
We'd like to give a huge thanks to Hannah from Red Handed for her contribution to this episode of Inside Crime and Investigation. You can find Red Handed covering the Shafila Ahmed case on their feed. Make sure you tag your thoughts on the case and the series with the hashtag When Missing Turns to Murder, and find us on social media. This episode of Inside Crime and Investigation was hosted by me, Peter Ross, and produced and edited by Chloe Frost.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.